I said, I think a lot of that's nonsense. I think it's, I think it's someone who had this idea and got into the analytics of it and did all these running backs and went through the whatever. Hey, Jonathan Stewart's in his 10th year, and he's hardly lost anything. So.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss here with you once again. Before we get into everything more in the Giants season, talk about Dave Gettleman's quote-unquote retirement, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, you can follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review, especially on the podcast app on your iPhone. Okay. Weiss, long time no see.
Yes.
Yeah. So Weiss and I actually were crazy enough to go in, what was it, like 35 degree freezing rain weather.
Yes.
To go sit there and watch Jake Fromm quarterback the Giants and get blown out by the Washington football team. And Weiss, you're crazier than I am because you drove all the way up from Maryland, whereas I just took the 30-minute drive from Jersey City.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy. It was good. Two guys that hate the Giants.
Seriously, went and sat there at probably estimates, honestly, this is not hyperbolic. I mean, what would you say the capacity was, 20%?
Yeah, I would say about only a third of the stadium was full of.
At most. Yeah. I mean, it was bad. You know, that definitely sends a message. But, you know, we were the two idiots that sat there, and it was good. You know, we tailgated with Snacks and Justin.
Yeah, it was fun.
And Will, and, you know, met some people and heckled people in Saquon jerseys. It was a good time. It was fun, despite the fact that I froze my fucking ass off.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that was fun. Hopefully we'll get to do that again next year and get to actually watch some more competent football. But before we get into the GM search, let's discuss the retirement
of Dave Gettleman.
Quote, unquote, retirement of Dave Gettleman.
Yeah.
It's a farce. It was a farce months ago. I think everyone knew that the Giants weren't going to fire Dave Gettleman, that they were just going to sort of ride it out till the end of the season. Now, what really pisses me off is that they actually, and I don't know if Gettleman is dumb enough to actually believe that this was like a retirement, but we were there, got tweeted out by the beat reporters that he was literally on the fields pregame with his family taking pictures as if to celebrate, you know, a successful career, at least with the Giants, and ride off into the sunset, which is fucking crazy to me.
It was the most bizarre scene I've ever seen in my life.
A slap in the face to fans, insulting, really.
For the
franchise that we love and also to our intelligence.
Let me try to break it down. So at the game, when we got there, we got to the seats. Obviously, you and me and Will were together. You had gone off and got yourself, I think, a pretzel and a hot dog, ironically.
No, actually, I got two hot dogs.
Two hot dogs, okay.
Two hot dogs.
And Will and I went down to the you know, closer to the front row and where the benches were, and that's where Gettleman was with his entire family. And it was the most bizarre thing I have ever seen. So you had Dave Gettleman and his friends, family, I don't know, sort of in this ceremony celebrating the end of, I don't know what they were, the end
his
of
career.
What? His career, I guess. Yeah. And then in the background, you just had angry Giants fans that were just full of rage. And I know I'm not just talking about Will. There was a lot of them over there, and they were just yelling things at him and saying things to him, and it was just the most bizarre situation, the most bizarre scene I had really ever seen. I mean, I don't know what the hell. I mean, the Giants could have gave him a suite and just said, hey, man, do what you got to do in here. We don't want to, you know, make you have to come onto the field and, you know, sort of have this quote-unquote ceremony type thing. Do it in a suite or do it after, you know, the game at the end, or just because it was bad. And Dave Gettleman, even acknowledged fans like a couple times, including Will. and waved to them, who, by the way, had a fire Gettleman shirt on. So it was a surreal scene there. And yeah, I mean, just this whole retirement thing, it's so comical. The statement was just bizarre. You know, they tried to, in that whole statement that they put out for Dave Gettleman's retirement, they make no mention of his record as the Giants GM. It's strictly his successes in Carolina, which I don't even know if you can call it a success in Carolina. And then topped off by an interesting statement from both John Mara and Steve Tisch on how this organization moves forward. But my overall thought, and I'll ask you this too, we're not going to sit here and, you know, break down Dave Gettleman's tenure. But for me,
we're going to save that for another episode.
Yeah. For me, it's pretty simple. You know, Dave Gettleman will go down as the worst general manager in Giants history and probably in NFL history. I know there have been a lot of bad ones. Matt Millen comes to mind. You know, the latter part of Al Davis's career or life as GM of the Raiders. But Dave Gettleman will go down as the worst general manager, I think, in NFL history. I think he not only was the decision-making wrong, the Giants never had a real process. His decision-making in 2018, 2019 set this franchise back. You guys know the moves that he made or the moves he did not make. I don't need to go over them. But, you know, that's what he's going to go down for. And, you know, there's a lot of things that you and I have found out over the last, you know, couple weeks, specifically the last sort of 72 hours when we're talking to people that cover the team who've just told how unprofessional he was at times.
I'm not going to
go into details about it.
Some wild stories.
Yeah. But he is, you know, he was not fit to be the general manager of any NFL team. And it was a sad, depressing 4 years that, you know, I'm glad are over.
Yeah. And not just 4 years, because, you know, a huge mess for whoever the new GM it's more than 4 years. It's everything that he ruined and the mess that he created in order for the new GM to come in here and clean up. And I know, it's funny because a lot of people would talk about, you know, the first couple of years of Gettleman's tenure, oh, he's still cleaning up Reese's mess. Well, listen, the mess that Reese left was far, far less than the mess that Gettleman is leaving his successor.
Absolutely.
So, all right, enough about Gettleman. We will have an episode at some point in the near future where we'll break down pretty much every move that he made, good and bad, throughout the course of his tenure. That'll be a long episode. It'll be probably fun. We'll need to be drinking for that. We'll have Will on, you know, and we'll break it all down. But let's talk about some of the news that broke over the last 24 hours from the start of Black Monday.
Really, since the end of kickoff from the Giants game.
Yeah, I guess. And it was a rocky start. It was a rocky start for Giants fans. I know I was pretty upset. You were pretty upset. I think a lot of people are still upset at aspects of it, but we wanted to wait a little bit for the dust to settle before giving our take on what's going on. And if you listened to the last few weeks, we have gone into this offseason with the mindset that the GM will be Kevin Abrams and the coach will be Joe Judge. That way, we cannot be disappointed if that is actually what happens. Now, it has been widely reported that not only is Kevin Abrams not going to even get an interview, which is shocking. You know, I figured that John Mara would at least provide him that interview just to save face amongst his cronies on the inside. So not only is Kevin Abrams not getting an interview, but that without an ounce of doubt, with 100% certainty, the next general manager of the New York Giants will be an outside hire for the first time since George Young.
1978, 9?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Huge, huge, huge news. So we can all take a deep breath and relax a little bit that it will not be Pettit, it will not be Abrams, it will not be any of the other cronies inside the organization. The Giants are going outside for their next GM. And not only are they going outside, they have already submitted probably 8 interview requests for people outside the organization. And it is an impressive list. And I was actually joking about this with Nikki Snacks the other day. he messaged, he goes, there's no way that John Mara put this list together because it's too good of a list. And there's a 0% chance that John Mara actually knows some of these people.
It's a very outside the box list.
It is very well outside the box in the sense that all the names are very, very good.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
not like, so you know, Lewis Riddick is not on the list.
No.
For instance. So the
Scott Pioli's not on the list.
Yeah, thank God. Yeah. Although it is hilarious that he is helping the he's helping the Bears.
No, that's Bill Polian.
Bill Polian is helping the Bears with their search after Accorsi helped get Ryan Pace hired as the previous GM over there. Now they're going to ask the old man who claimed that Lamar Jackson should be a wide receiver instead of a quarterback to help with their GM search. Yeah. So,
but although it
could be worse.
They have put together a good list too. Some of their names, I don't know if you looked at the Bears.
But it's just the fact that, you know, why are you even bothering to ask these guys? Anyway, so the Giants list.
Right.
The first and widely considered the front runner so far, Joe Shane.
Buffalo Bills
assistant GM.
Right.
Okay. Ryan Poles, chief executive director of player personnel for
Kansas City. Yes.
Right. Yeah. So it's not Borgonzi, but we got a Kansas City chief on the list.
Right.
Monty Ossenfort, Titans director of player personnel, and Ryan Cowden, Titans VP of player personnel.
Right.
So if you look at what they've been able to accomplish over there, we've, you know, said it till we're blue in the face. The sign of a good GM is being able to acquire and accumulate depth so that, you know, if you have an injury at a major spot, you're able to overcome. Well, there was no team more injured than the Tennessee Titans this year, and they have been phenomenal. So great news there. Adrian Wilson, Cardinals VP of Pro Scouting.
Yes.
Adam Peters, 49ers Assistant General Manager, and Rand Carthon, 49ers Director of Player Personnel.
Right.
And Cardinals VP of Player Personnel, Quentin Harris.
Yeah, that one came in today.
So that's a new one.
Yeah.
A lot of great names on this list. All from currently successful teams that understand how to operate and draft and put together a scouting department.
They're looking forward. They're not stuck in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very, very strong group of candidates. I think, you know, it's important here for the Giants that they, you know, you can. I always thought it was weird that teams, like, didn't, in the pre-COVID day, they didn't just do these interviews through Zoom anyway or through Skype.
Right.
Because it gives you opportunity to interview multiple candidates rather than, I got to fly this guy out and make the schedule work and he might be interviewing for another job. So you interview as many, many people as you can. And then as you narrow your list down and you have your second interviews, that's when you can sort of meet people face to face. But yeah, it's a very, very, very strong list. I think right at the top, you know, the Bills assistant GM, Joe Shane, really, really strong candidate. Somebody that I know probably wouldn't take this job if the position isn't going to be filled by a real GM and not just somebody that's going to just take orders from somebody else, which is sort of the fear amongst Giant fans when you talk to them about sort of what the next GM should be. It's about control, allowing this person to make the proper changes that he wants to make. And I think that's important. And I think if those guys do interview, it does give a sense of confidence to the fan base that this is not only a real search, but they're going to fill the sort of position with a real, real candidate. It's not going to be somebody that's just going to answer to somebody else. So yeah, it's a really, really strong list, really out of the box. I mean, I'd be lying if I told you I knew every single thing about these guys. You know, most of them, some of the guys we've heard in the past, Monty Ossenfort, obviously Joe Shane, even Adam Peters, you know, really, really strong candidates. But some of these Arizona guys, Ryan Crowden, I don't know much about with Tennessee. But again, really, really strong list. You like what you see. I expect more names to be added. And this is what a real GM search looks like. Like, this is it. Not what you saw in 2017, and I don't know if people are around, not what you saw in 2007. They're actually going around the league, and they're interviewing, you know, people that come from successful organizations, and I think that's important. And maybe some of these guys don't get the job, but it doesn't hurt to interview them because there could be a position that opens up in your front office that you can fill with one of these guys, that you could pluck a guy from Arizona and promote him to a position in your front office. So I think that's important there. So, again, the more people you interview, the better it is.
Yep, and it's a good point, and I'll add on to your point. You always want to cast a wide net.
Absolutely.
Because if you only talk to a few people, the ideas get narrowed down. You might not love someone for the job, but you might love an idea that they have.
Yes,
or one thing, exactly. That very specific thing that they do within another organization.
Bingo.
That your organization doesn't do, and absolutely. You might be able to implement even if you don't hire them.
Yep.
Okay? Call it a brain dump.
Yep.
You know, you get to speak to all these people in very different organizations, and you look down the list, right? What really, really, really makes me happy is that not only are these successful organizations, but they're successful in different ways.
Right.
Okay? The Bills in 2018, they took a big quarterback from Wyoming that not a lot of people believed in. You know what? They developed him and they surrounded him with the talent that he needs to succeed. They've got a pretty good defense. They have really, really fast wide receivers that can go and run underneath balls instead of relying on Josh Allen's accuracy. They know how to build around that specific type of player, right? They were able to sort of figure that out on the fly. Then you look at the Titans. Or sorry, I skipped Ryan Poles. Look at the Chiefs. They drafted a guy that Ben McAdoo desperately wanted in Patrick Mahomes, okay?
Yeah.
They have a shit ton of money tied up in him. They were able to rebuild their offensive line
that's
in a year.
That's the big one. That's the big one.
Right? You know,
Kansas
guys
City,
like
yep.
Tyreek Hill, they got a bunch of sort of cookie-cutter wide receivers. They're able to make it work. They're a very successful franchise. You have the Titans, who are more of a traditional ground and pound with Derrick Henry and whoever Derrick Henry's backup is, and then a very strong defense, really good depth because they're still successful despite the fact that they're decimated by injuries. And Mike Vrabel was only a defensive coordinator for what, a year before he got hired for the job, and
yes.
He's part of the Bill Belichick coaching tree. So there you go. There's some familiarity for you, John Mara.
Yep.
Then just real quick, you're going west a little bit, okay? You've got the 49ers, you have Adam Peters and Rand Carthon, who Adam Peters, I think you and I are going to just, you know, talk a little bit about specifically.
You
can
go ahead and say it. That's our guy.
That's our guy.
From this list, that's our guy.
He is probably number one. And listen, I'm not going to pretend that I knew anything about half these people before they were selected. But once they get selected and the interview request comes in, you read, you learn. I don't think I've seen a guy get connected to so many specific draft hits
yeah.
as Adam Peters has been. The players absolutely love him. He seems like a really intelligent guy.
He runs the draft in San Francisco. There are
yeah,
talks of them getting rid of John Lynch and making Adam Peters the GM because they
or
don't
doing
lose.
Like some right exactly
yeah.
or doing some sort of promotion where they make
exactly.
Lynch, you know, VP of yada yada,
like team president
and
or something
him.
Like that, and then,
exactly
yeah.
and make him GM. Peters is high up on the list, and he was a guy that loved Trey Lance. So sort of a non-typical quarterback selection, someone that the Giants would never have really
no.
considered before maybe they hire a guy like Adam Peters. And the same thing goes for Cardinals VP of Player Personnel Quentin Harris, Kyler Murray. The Giants were the only team, allegedly, that didn't have Kyler Murray as their QB1 in the Daniel Jones draft. So getting those kind of guys in for at least an interview and understanding what they look for and what they see and what their processes are like is a good thing. So we'll talk about the fact that Joe Judge hasn't been fired yet and that Dave Gettleman was allowed to quote-unquote retire, and we can be mad about those things. In a vacuum, the list that the Giants have submitted to interview for their general manager position has been very good.
Yes.
And I think both of us are quite happy about it.
Yeah, and I think the big thing that you touched on is they're talking to successful organizations that all turned it around quickly. This wasn't
yes.
like a
and did five, so in different ways.
Yeah, it wasn't a 5 or 6 year rebuild. You look at Kansas City, outside of the fact that they've drafted, you know, Patrick Mahomes, how they rebuilt their offensive line in a year, how they were able to come out and do it in a year, how a team like Arizona, who drafted Josh Rosen, but then a year later went out and got Kyler Murray. How was that process like? Those are important things, right? Like the NFL is changing. We're seeing with quarterbacks, it's no longer guys getting 5 years to develop. No, it's quick turnarounds. It's making sure you're always prepared. Hey, if there's a quarterback out there that might be better, we want to take a swing at it. So talking to people in Arizona, how that process went down, that's very, very important because you never know. You could be faced with that situation, and you don't want to make the wrong decision. San Francisco, again, a team that just builds through the draft. And remember, these were not teams. I mean, Arizona was picking high once upon a time, and so was San Francisco. But these are teams that find value late in rounds, and I think that's very important for the Giants. The biggest issue with them, or one of the biggest issues over the course of the last decade, has been the fact that they've not been able to have homegrown talent. Guys that are here, that they draft, and that are get to that second contract. I mean, off the top of my head, in the last 10 years, there's Jason Pierre-Paul, there's Odell Beckham, and Sterling Shepard, I think, also is another one. But after that, there's nobody else that got that second contract. So if you're getting a general manager, one of the things you're looking for, one of the most important things you're looking for, is building through the draft, not just their first and second round, but finding guys in that later on. And a lot of these organizations that they're looking to, they find those guys in later rounds, and I think that's important. How they've been able to turn their organization around is important. And again, you might be interviewing them for the GM job, but down the road, this guy might be available, and you might want to put him in your front office, and you've done your homework on him. That's important. That's how organizations that are thinking forward, that's how they do things. They don't just go out and interview three people and call it a day.
Yeah. It's a great list.
It's a really good list. It's a very intriguing list. There's a lot of good names on there.
I'm trying to look something up real quick.
Yeah.
But we can move on to the next topic.
The head coach. It's been a while. Okay. 72. You and I were at where it was right before kickoff, and the Jay Glazer thing came out that it's 50-50 with Joe Judge. You know, he's
and
he's
it was pushed 25 something.
First it was 50-50. Remember, we were at the game, and I looked at my phone and I said, "Oh man, Glazer said it's 50-50 and he's pushing for Abrams." Remember that? And then after the game, Glazer said, "No, it's actually 25-75 that he's gone." And ever since then, it's been just a lot of – it's been a mystery on what the hell is happening with Joe Judge.
Yeah.
But I want to take a step back for a second, right? I have always said that I believe that the Giants should hire a general manager and let that general manager decide what he wants to do with the head coach. I don't care. I don't think that they're not falling behind, because here's the thing. If they hire a GM next week and that GM wants to have a head coaching search, meaning he wants to move on from Joe Judge, he's going to move on from Joe Judge, and what's available is what's available. They were not going to start the head coaching search now because they didn't have a GM. They had to get the GM in place first. And I think we all agree the general manager position for them is the most important position to fill right now first.
Yes.
So timing, I really don't care about. Here's my issue is, I feel like John Mara is doing the right thing, crazy as it sounds. I feel like he's actually going to – he'll give his input, but I don't think this is a prerequisite. The coach has to keep – the GM has to keep Joe Judge. I think what he's doing is he wants to get the right football person in there, and they put out a statement where he said, you know, and to summarize, we're going to allow the GM to – the new GM to basically run our football operations from scouting to player personnel and coaching. So, fine. That's a great statement. Hopefully you follow through with that. My issue is that, Ethan, we were at the game. We're also fans. I think we have, to steal our a quote from our good friend Jordan Ronan, we have a good finger on the pulse when it comes to how fans are feeling.
Yes.
Fans are angry.
Very angry.
There's a lot of apathy toward the Giants right now. John Mara is if not there, at the point where he's losing a lot of the fans, especially the younger generation. And I think Carl Banks.
Carl Banks quote.
Talked about it perfectly. You got to get out in front of this. You got to come out, and you do this every year where you hold a press conference after the season. And while you might not have all the answers, you have to say something. Like, don't just leave it for, you know, for open interpretation and allow people to make their own assumptions. Come out, say, look, we understand what's happened the last 5 years is, you know, it's not acceptable. And we understand we need to make serious changes to how we operate as an organization. What we want to do is we want to bring in an independent voice to run our operations. Basically what you said in the statement, right? And obviously there's going to be questions. People are going to ask you about the head coach. What are you going to do? And they're going to ask you 15 different ways about Joe Judge's job status. And all you answer is, hey, with respect to the position, we're not going to comment on anything related to the football operations until we get a GM in there. When we get a GM in here, we will have a discussion and we will allow the GM to make that decision. Case closed. And you move on. There'll be clarity from ownership. Fans will say, okay, we can get behind that. And we move forward. When you keep people in the dark, and then while that's going on, you have stuff leaking out about, you know, there's locker room issues, and there's people that want him gone in the organization, and he goes from, you know, 50-50 to 75-25. And I don't like to put a lot of, you know, I don't like to put a lot into that, a lot of put a weight into what that report said, but it's Jay Glazer. I mean, he's, you know, he is connected as anyone. So
he's, you got to get Hall of Fame is, yeah, when it comes to insiders.
Exactly, especially with the Giants. So you got to get out in front of it. I feel like the process that they're doing is the right process. Unfortunately, I just think he needs to be open to the media, to his fan base about it. I'm not even sitting here telling you to comment on who you're interviewing. I'm not asking that. I'm just saying, say something.
I agree to an extent, because one thing we know about John Mara is that John Mara hates being embarrassed.
Yes, he does.
Joe Judge embarrassed John Mara and the New York Giants off the field through a number of press conferences where he just said the most absurd things. Okay?
Yes.
He embarrassed them on the football field weekly, okay, week in and week out, but especially when we were there, when they QB sneaked it from their own 4-yard line on second down and then third down with the goal of punting at the end of the drive. That was embarrassing. He got eviscerated in the media. So if the guy is embarrassing you off the field, he's embarrassing you on the field, there has been very little progress shown. And I think you and I can very confidently say this is the opposite of a Brian Flores situation, okay? Yeah. There are going to be a list. You know how long the list of teams lining up to interview Joe Judge if he gets fired by the New York Giants? The list is zero. There is not a single team out there that has looked at what Joe Judge has done with the Giants and said, you know what? What a great leader. What a great coach. Look at all this improvement. Look at this winning. I want to hire him, okay? That's what just doesn't make sense to me. If you're going to let your new GM pick his own head coach, you can automatically operate under the assumption that that coach is not going to be Joe Judge. And the fact that he has not yet been fired, especially knowing what we know about John Mara and I guess Steve Tisch, if he's sober long enough to actually make it through an interview.
TMZ Tisch.
Yeah, TMZ Tisch, Hollywood Steve. Yeah. It's that they love to have a say in the head coach. And they're doing the interviews. They're in the interviews. They're the ones leading that process for the head coach. Now, that maybe that process changes this time around because they're bringing in their GM. But the mouthpieces, Ralph Vacchiano and Paul Schwartz, are saying that, no, John Mara is still going to have a pretty hefty say in the head coaching decision. Mm-hmm. That's what worries me, that Joe Judge is still employed, and by all accounts, that John Mara is going to have a say in the head coaching decision. So, yes, we love the list of outside candidates. We're thrilled about that. We're thrilled that they're looking outside. But that is the one piece that I'm hung up on, because I've been saying this for weeks right now. If a new GM comes in and says, you know what, I sat down with Joe Judge, I loved what he had to say, I automatically distrust that. Because nothing that we have seen as fans and heard from the people in the know should give anyone confidence that Joe Judge is the right coach for this team. So it's going to give – I'm going to need a year if that new GM comes in and says, you know what, I'm going to roll with Judge. Because to me, I think next year is a wash anyway.
It is.
But in order for me to have confidence that the new GM is here for the long term and is going to do the right things and is really going to take a deep dive inside the organization and be a true CEO and revamp the scouting department and put the cronies in their place and say, no, we're going to do things this way from now on, that's going to be a growing process for me personally, because I'm going to need to see it.
Yeah.
If Joe Judge is back, I'm going to need to see it over the course of a year before I'm stamping, you know, putting my stamp of approval on whoever the new GM is.
I think it's pretty crazy how much Joe Judge has fallen with the fan base, and a lot of it is his fault. You know, I mean, it's
100%. You know, the loudest cheers in the stadium was when Corey Cunningham reported as eligible.
That was hilarious. Yeah, and he reported eligible, I think, almost like every other play. It was insane. I think the fall of Joe Judge has been wild, and I think for him, it started last year when he criticized the Philadelphia Eagles, which I thought you and I talked about this. I thought that was just
well, you brought it up. I thought it was a good point.
Yeah, flat out embarrassing for a 6-10 head coach to essentially say what he said about another team. Just absolutely, regardless how you feel about what the Eagles did, whether you think it was the right decision, wrong. Besides the point, for a head coach to comment like that, it's just terrible. And ever since then, it's been spiraled for Joe Judge, and I just think he hasn't recovered. But you know, I think what's important here for the Giants, and I know you probably disagree a little bit, is that they have to make sure they get the right guy. 2022 is a wash regardless what happens. And I'm with you. I'd rather 22 be a wash but a new coach sort of instill his philosophy and his culture than just a year where Joe Judge is, you know, I don't know. What can you expect if he's back? Another losing season, guaranteed probably. So obviously you want to start fresh in 2022, even though it's a lost year in terms of the team contending. You at least have that year where that coach is, you know, instilling his philosophy on the organization along with the GM. So I agree with you there. I just don't think, like people say, they're falling behind on the process. I don't think that they're falling behind on the process. First of all, there's not as many openings as, you know, typically see. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with Oakland, but with the Raiders. But even if the Raiders job opens up, it's probably going to open up around the same time the Giants job could potentially open up.
And that's fine. Yeah. My only point is that you're prolonging the inevitable.
You are.
I don't
understand how Mara is going to sell Joe Judge on the fan base. Not after what
I think he's probably just going to if that's what he does, he's going to be like, "Hey, look, I got you a new GM. He has no ties to the organization." And he's the one that says he wants Judge, not me, even though that's a load of shit.
That's not going to work. Even if this new GM, you know, falls on his face like Gettleman did, everyone's going to look at John Mara. They're not going to look at the GM. Like that's where it is right now. But I just don't under, like, when I picture the 2022 season, the home opener, and Joe Judge is on the sideline, I have a hard time seeing how fans sign up for it. Even if they hire an exciting GM and he does have a very good first off season, it's tough, man, because what he's done, you talk about him, he's not only embarrassed them off the field, but on the field. Like, when we saw the whole quarterback sneak thing, you know, we were there. You know, we were like, what the hell is this?
But it was embarrassing.
It was, I mean, it's regarded as probably the worst play in Giants history outside of the Steve Pasarchuk, is that who it was? The fumble against the Eagles, that infamous fumble. So it's, I don't know. I don't know how you could bring him back. And then, on top of that, he's got to hire a new offensive staff. So you're looking at...
Right, that's the thing.
Yeah.
And then you're looking at another full, you know, like hitting the reset button again.
Right. You're hiring a whole new offensive staff. Not only the reset button, like a lot of them are going to be sort of taken by then, right? I mean, like how where is this going to drag into? So...
But also, who's worthy that's going to accept that job, like, knowing that they might get fired in a year?
There was this hypothetical that I saw where they hired Joe Shane from Buffalo, and then here comes Brian Daboll somehow and becomes the offensive coordinator.
Not happening. He's not making a lateral move as offensive coordinator.
Let's just play the hypothetical game for a second. You want to talk about dysfunction? You want to talk about issues? You put a offensive coordinator who would likely be a head coaching candidate for the team as the team's offensive coordinator on a staff that could be fired in a year. And, oh, by the way, the offensive coordinator could potentially become the head coach. Imagine that locker room. Like, how
the
can
only
you...
way that works is if it's someone like Joe Shane and he strikes a backroom handshake deal with Daboll. He's like, hey, come be the offensive coordinator. I'm going to fire Judge's ass halfway through the season, promote you as interim, and then you get the job. But why is it ridiculous?
That's a ridiculous scenario. That doesn't work. Let's see, even Daboll agrees to it. Imagine the dysfunction in that locker room. You got a head coach who, by the way, Joe Judge, strong personality. We saw he's had run-ins with his coaching staff in the past.
Yes.
You add Brian Daboll, who, oh, by the way, is really close with the new GM that's coming in. It's probably going to fire you anyway, or looking for the first signed to fire you. I'm talking about Joe Judge. Yeah, and yeah. Oh, by the way, make it work. Like, that doesn't work. That never works. So no,
it's crazy.
You either fire him, or if you bring him back, if they start 0-2, he's gone. Like,
yeah.
You're talking the hottest of hot seats. I don't know how you can sell this. Even if you bring in this whole new offensive staff, it's a hard sell for me. And we saw it firsthand. This fan base, even the 1/3 of them that were there, they really have it out for Joe Judge. It was insane. And they even showed it on the camera in Fox when he ran those two quarterback sneaks. You saw the fan basically called him a B-I-T-C-H.
Yeah, a bitch, yeah. Yeah.
So, good luck. Good luck.
It's insane.
Yeah.
All right. So, mixed feelings.
Yeah.
To start the off season.
Are you thrilled
at the list, but nervous?
Are you cautiously optimistic, or is it blind optimism?
Well, I would say I'm neither. I would say, I don't know what I would say. Like I'm basically in wait and see mode.
Okay.
I like the list until John Mara fully goes through the process and shows me he understands what's wrong with his football team. I refuse to be fully happy.
Joe Shane is actually interviewing on Wednesday through Zoom.
Great. Great.
So then we got that one scheduled.
Strong candidate. I think that there could be better ones out there, but I certainly would not be upset.
No, certainly not. Certainly not.
And by the way, I think we can basically – I mean, whatever. I had someone slide into my DMs that was, weeks ago that said that the Giants had reached out to Ed Dodds just to put a feeler out on him and be like, hey, like, would you interview? And he declined. The fact that he is getting interview requests that are public now and they're not with the Giants, I feel comfortable saying that they had at least reached out, and due to previous dysfunction, he did not want any part of it.
What do you think is you said earlier that I'm going to put you on the spot because you and I talked about this.
Yeah.
Had a good conversation with somebody who's close to the search. I guess you can say that. Who do you think put together the list of candidates, or who do you think?
Oh, yes, yes.
Who do you think is, sort of,
I mean, again, not
consulting?
The person we had this conversation with specifically didn't say this is definitely who it was. It was a guess.
Right.
And the guess, which
that was makes my, a lot of that sense. That was my guess, by the way, too.
Yes.
That's what
And the guess makes a lot of sense.
It does.
Tim McDonald, the nephew of John Mara. Because
the guy that I think is going to be the heir apparent.
Yeah, because how old is he?
He's a young guy. He's in his 30s.
Right? So he spent 10 years.
8 years at Notre Dame.
8 years at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Hold on. I got to find out how old he is.
Apparently.
But he's a young guy.
Well respected.
Well, we don't know that for sure.
Well, that's what it hurt. Yeah.
He looks really young. So he was hired as a scout. He spent years at Notre Dame. You're not going to be able to sell the fan base on Pettit, O'Brien, Abrams, any of those guys. So you might as well have McDonald lead the search for the first outside the organization guy in quite a while. Bring him in to essentially take McDonald under his wing and groom him to eventually one day be the general manager.
Oh, no, no,
and
no,
a lot
no,
of fans
no,
aren't,
no, no,
aren't
no.
going to want. That's my theory.
No, no, Tim McDonald's not going to be the general. He's going to take over for John Mara.
Oh, is like owner of
yeah. No, no, no. Okay. This is not an heir apparent to the GM. No, no, no. Tim McDonald could be the GM right now. No, this is
– He can't be the GM right now.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that Tim McDonald is going to be the – president of whatever John Mara's title is, CEO of, he's going to be that. He's the heir apparent to John Mara. That's what my belief is. I don't think he's looking to be the next general manager. I think he's going to be the next John Mara, if you want to put it that way. That's what I think.
Interesting.
It's like, because if John Mara gets older, he's going to get older. He's not going to stick around and run, football ops. He's going to be an old man.
Yeah.
Who knows? 10 years. I don't want to put a timetable on it, but I think Tim McDonald's that next John Mara. And by the way, he's in case you guys didn't know, he's the nephew of John Mara.
Yes.
So I do believe that he's the heir apparent to he's going to become the next owner, not owner, but CEO of the team.
Okay.
That's what I'll say on that.
Should we do questions?
Let's do questions.
Let's see.
All right. This is from not King James 019. Choose one. Yeah. Choose one. Daniel Jones, but you have to pick up his option. Draft a quarterback with the 5th or 7th pick. Or give Trubisky or Mariota a 2-year deal? It's a good question. So it's Daniel Jones on a 2-year. I'll give you the money. The 5th-year option is going to be about $21 million. He's got $8 million this year. So you're looking at 2 years, $29 million extension. Call it 30 for Daniel Jones. Or you draft a quarterback 5th or 7th. Or Trubisky 2-year deal. Trubisky or Mariota, 2-year deal.
Oh, man.
I'm almost inclined to say Daniel Jones.
Me too.
Because it's just picking up the option. Because I think you can trade him. I think even with the
50. Yeah, it's like even then it's only 1 year.
Right.
So I guess Daniel Jones.
This is a good question. It's actually something I wanted to talk about. Do you believe that the fan reaction slash national media ripping the Giants has any impact on them actually scheduling interviews with people from other teams for GM? That's from Kyle Forcini. Kyle, I think that the Giants fan base, because of the just anger that they've shown toward this owner, it made him not promote Kevin Abrams.
I think bullying works.
Yes.
I think the fan base successfully bullied John Mara. Yes. And the national media bullied John Mara.
I don't even think it was the national media. I think it was the fan base. The national media can only do so much. See, you can revoke a media member's credentials. With the fan base, you lose them. I think, in all seriousness, I think the fan base played a huge role in this. That's why I said, congratulations, Giant fans. We did it. And I want to say with Kevin Abrams, everything that we've heard about him is that he's a forward-thinking guy. He's analytically driven. He just does the contracts, which haven't been good. But he seems like a forward-thinking guy. Here's the problem. Buddy boy, you at the wrong place at the wrong time. If they would have promoted him in 2017, that was the time to do it. Not now.
Nope, he's fucked.
Yeah, wrong place at the wrong time.
And good.
Oh, this is another good one from Adam Kuplik. So far in the GM search, are there any candidates mentioned that you'd be disappointed with? Also, how many of the candidates do you think have a head coach at the ready? I think all of them have head coaching candidates ready to go that they want to talk to. Any ones that you don't like?
Not actively.
Yeah, I don't think.
I mean, I don't think, personally, I'm not as high on Joe Shane as I think most people are. I think he's a fine choice. I certainly wouldn't complain. I just think, based on what's out there, right? I mean, we were just talking, Dodds. Dodds is my white whale. Will McClay is the white whale.
Yeah.
I love Adam Peters more than I love Joe Shane.
Right.
So, he's not my number one pick. I think he's a very fine choice, and I would celebrate him being hired and would more than willing to give him a chance. So I wouldn't say there's anyone I dislike. There's just people I like less than others.
I'm a little bit weary on Monty Austin Fort. Not because of the Judge connection, but time in New England, he's only been with Tennessee for 2 years. So how much of the credit to the Titans turnaround can you give him? That's a little one that throws me off, but there's nobody there where I'm like, oh my God, they hire this guy, we're screwed. It's a good list. Sal from Queens, if we're truly stuck with Judge, is there any semi-decent offensive coordinator that would actually sign up to be a part of the 2022 disaster. See, that's the thing. I think you could
no,
but
like who?
The only way you're getting a semi decent offensive coordinator is like if what you said earlier. If there's like a handshake agreement that hey, you show me that you can, you know,
coach.
I'll put you at the top of the list when we get rid of Joe Judge and I'm hiring a coordinator. But again, that will just lead to dysfunction that I don't think you can handle, especially if you're trying to clean up a lot of the mess. You don't want to just create yourself another mess. This is NYG Tim. Do you guys believe the Giants are in the early stages of turning this mess around?
Yes.
Okay.
I think.
I'm going to say yes, I think, too. I think.
I mean, it's stage 0.5.
Yeah. They haven't even.
But
they're like two steps up the ladder.
Right.
Their feet are still touching the floor.
It's a long way to go.
Yeah.
But if it's done properly, this podcast might be taking a new tone in a couple of years.
Look, the GM job is as sort of what's the word I'm looking for? It's as the level of interest is there as long as John Mara doesn't, you know,
get in the way.
Right. Like people will want to be the GM of the Giants. I can tell you that. It's a Gettleman question from Mike NYY, good friend of mine. What's your least favorite Gettleman moment? Oh, that's easy. If the new GM wants to keep Judge, should we assume that he does it just to land the job because no one should be willing to do that? Well, to answer your question, my least favorite Gettleman moment, I guess taking the running back at two.
It's got to be.
I mean, that's the least. After that, I knew we were screwed. The new GM, you know, I don't know because, like I said, I think if he comes in here and he wants to, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to make of Joe Judge. I'm still trying to wrap my hand around the fact that there's even a chance that he could be on the sideline for the Giants in 2022. I just can't I can't fathom that, and I don't understand.
Agreed.
What the hell's going on there. So I don't know what to assume anymore. Let's see, we got any more? Oh, I like this one too. A lot of good questions today. From intern name here, 33. Today, if you could choose one, you choosing Chase Young or Andrew Thomas?
Ooh, Andrew Thomas.
Me
Andrew
too.
Thomas.
Andrew Thomas.
Yeah,
I'm taking Andrew Thomas.
Me too.
Funny how these things work out.
Sometimes.
Yeah, and then we'll leave it at this because obviously this is the big topic right now. Gun to your head, is Joe Judge fired? Yes or no?
Oh man.
I know. I keep going back and forth. As you're thinking, I've gone back and forth like four times.
I really, really think it's 50-50.
I'm with you.
And the only reason I'm giving John Mara 50% benefit of the doubt is the list of potential GM candidates.
Okay.
That's it. That is the only reason. You can't tell me that Adam Peters is going to come over here and want to work with Joe Judge when you could bring over Mike McDaniels, or that Joe Shane is going to come over here when you could bring Brian Daboll. Okay?
Forget about come over here, take an interview.
You can't.
They're not going to waste
your
time.
You can't. Well, if now they're doing it over Zoom.
I see what you're saying.
So, might as well have the conversation.
I got the gun to your head. I'm getting ready to pull the trigger.
Okay.
Give me an answer.
Think Judge is back. Gun to head. Gun to head, I think Judge is back.
I think about it, and when I think of 2022 Giants, and I think of that stadium, and I think of the fans in the stands, and I think about what I saw last week, I think he's gone. I think he's gone.
I'd love to believe it.
I
got to see it to believe it.
There's just so much. It's such a. It's such a toxic thing right now. Over this,
you know what? I'm sorry. I know you already pulled the trigger. You didn't pull the trigger.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go no.
Yeah, because you saw it. Like we were like.
You know what? You know what it was. You know what I just remembered that flipped it for me.
What?
Kevin Abrams isn't even getting an interview.
Yeah.
And he's not even getting an interview. Not even like a courtesy interview he's not getting.
And another thing.
That's wild.
They haven't even – they're not even – they haven't even mentioned his name in any statement they put out.
None.
Like that's the crazy part about this.
Wild. He's not even getting an interview.
It's crazy to think about because we're talking about John Mara actually doing the right thing. Crazy. Yeah, I'm going to say no. There's just it's such a toxic thing right now. I just can't envision him being on the sideline in 2022. It's just so – when you think about it, it's tough for me to see.
Yeah.
All right.
Wrap it up. Okay. It's the off season. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Wise at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. And we'll talk to you soon. We'll do the Gettleman episode. There'll be some off-season news. It'll be fun. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, I think we're just getting started, the off-season.
Yeah, me too. I hope so.
I'll see how long this thing drags out.
Facts.
Peace.